This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Victory Tuesday, October 20th, 2020. Last night, the Chiefs win in Buffalo 26-17 over the Buffalo Bills, and Patrick Mahomes was 21-26 for 225, two touchdowns, no picks. Also ran 10 times for 36 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 26 carries for 161 yards, 46 carries for 245 yards for the Chiefs, and they win on a night there was no Sammy Watkins. Tyreek Hill only had three catches for 20 yards and one catch for 5 yards, and Mecole Hardman only had one target. So it was all Clyde Edwards-Helaire. DeMarcus Robinson had five catches. Travis Kelce had five catches and a couple of touchdowns. Byron Pringle had a 37-yard catch and another catch besides that. And so a little different. And also different names on the offensive line. Daniel Kilgore at center. At guard, you had Mike Remmers, who then had to move outside to right tackle once Mitchell Schwartz left with his back injury. And Nick Allegretti, seventh-round pick from 2019, stepped in and played very well at guard. To talk about those performances in the 26-17 victory, we have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I'm probably not as good as Nate Bucati is today. I was thinking, man, about a month from now, if his wife is having another baby, we'll know what went down. Where it all happened. This is ground zero.
Wow.
Mr. Clyde Edwards. You might name Clyde. Clyde Edwards-Helaire Bucati. Talk about taking your hat off. Did you take your hat off last night?
What's that? He's on Twitter defending Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I was about to send out another smart-ass tweet before we went on. We got back from break. But luckily,
it's just not enough that he had 161 yards. Now he's arguing with people.
After?
Look. The offensive line deserves a massive amount of credit. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was terrific, but some of those holes were gigantic, and they dominated the line of scrimmage and with three backups in. And I think Alec Lewis from The Athletic said, paraphrasing here, with the performance of that offensive line, it would be easy for any running back to run through those holes. Nate took exception to that and went after Alec Lewis. And then there's other analytics people there making smart-ass tweets like, oh, those are great holes created by the running backs last night. Oh, sorry, it was the offensive line, because there are some people that are super miserable and just like to criticize anyone and anything that whenever you feel good about something you've seen. And so that's all.
What did Nate say? What did you say back?
But my point is, before Nate gets into that,
okay,
it could be both.
Yes.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was terrific last night. And so was the offensive line, and that's why they ran for 245 yards. It had to be everything working together, and that's what happened. And so why not celebrate the entire performance instead of trying to piss and moan and say, no, it was all the running backs. No, it was all the offensive line. I don't like anything, so I'm going to tweet my displeasure about things. Nate Bucati.
It almost seems like you're trying to suggest this is a team game. Which seems like a foreign concept to a lot of people. For the record, my stance is that I didn't like the use of the word easy, to say that it's easy to go have a game like Clyde Edwards-Helaire had because the offensive line was so good. He got 50 yards after the expected yards he was supposed to have yesterday. Going for 160 yards on 26 carries is not easy, even if your offensive line is good. That's my point. Give the man some credit is all I'm saying. It wouldn't be possible with the bad offensive line performance. He wouldn't have had a day like that had the offensive line played poorly. But here's what I'd like to say to the analytics, because the offensive line played great yesterday. Here's what I'd like to say to the analytics crowd. I think you're right. I think that it's all about the offensive line and not about the running back. That's why you should never draft a running back in the first round. That's why the Chiefs ran behind so many first-round picks on that offensive line that created all those holes yesterday. You know, they had an offensive line filled with first-round draft picks out there pushing that line back, Jeff Chedid.
Oh,
that's why they got the big game out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Man, someone's still hot. Still, man.
Hot and bothered.
I'm start coming back on Wednesday mornings.
You I just love it when somebody down. Goes out and has like and does you know what a bunch of people said he couldn't do, and then it's wow, that didn't matter. Right? You know, he didn't. He could. Any guy could have just walked out there and had 160 yards.
Yeah. It was, what is that music?
I don't know.
To? They dedicate this song to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Right. Because, you know, it's when that offensive line is blocking like that, it's so easy for any running back.
Well, look, you know, I think all points are valid here. And look, I think the first takeaway is I think that that's – I think for Andy Reid, I think for the offensive line, I think for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think for Eric Bieniemy, I think for – for anybody who's watched them the last couple games be defended the way they've been defended, the only way you can really deal with that is to run the football. And I think it wasn't just, you know, the offensive line and the running back. It was the play calling.
Sure.
We said this last week. Got to go under center more. You got to do more quick hitting stuff. And that's what they went to. More power stuff, more downhill blocking. And those, you know, I think the irony here is that, you know, you lose a Mitchell Schwartz early in that game and you don't know, you know, I think we still don't know what kind of pass blockers Nick Allegretti, you know, are, or how Mike Remmers can handle right tackle, but they didn't have to. And I think a game plan like that against a team that just played a physical team like Tennessee 6 days earlier, I was really impressed that. I think Andy Reid even said it, that he acknowledged, like, I didn't stick with the run long enough in the last game, mm-hmm. and we lost. Mm-hmm. And they have to. They have to get used to having to play games like this. You know, I think, you know, the first game was like that, and then they got back into, let's throw the ball more. We get all these pass plays designed, and you're going to have to understand that you'll keep seeing these kind of defenses, you know, the rest of the season. You know, it's folly to try to blitz the Chiefs in the way the Ravens did a few games ago. You saw what happened with that. You saw what happened with the Patriots and with the Chargers and with the Raiders last week and some of the success they had in slowing them down. I mean, the numbers are staggering with what they did, but you have to stick with it. And you have to, you know, there was a point in that game, I think probably in the third quarter, where you could just see the look in the linemen's eyes that they were loving this. They were loving the opportunity to go out and beat up on somebody. Yeah. And Mahomes even mentioned that those guys were, their pride was hurt in the way people talked about them, not running against light boxes. But if you're going to run against light boxes, you have to call plays against light boxes. And I don't think Buffalo had the greatest game plan in the world defensively. I think the way they tried to play that was keeping a lot of guys back, including their linebackers and their corners. So there wasn't a lot of space there to defend. Edwards-Helaire was getting like 5 yards a carry without even getting touched. But it was good to see the Chiefs and Andy and that offensive line get going, because take what they give you.
So as much as you talk about the Bills' game plan and they got gouged and they got doubled up in yardage, I feel like some teams might look at that and say, you know what? They were still in the game, and if they get a decent performance out of their quarterback, maybe they win the game. So if I got to pick my poison against the Chiefs, it might be a little more painful, and it might be really frustrating to watch, but maybe that's a better way to go about it than let them run past you and catch big touchdown passes.
Yeah, there was certainly – I mean, it's strange to say that a team just gouged you in the running game the way they did, and you're sitting here saying they still had a chance to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they hit that field goal before halftime. It's a 6-point game with your team having the ball with 2 minutes to go and a chance to win. And so, yeah, that is ultimately the best option you have in dealing with the Chiefs is making Patrick Mahomes less a part of the action.
Right.
That's got to be plan A for any team that comes in here. And yeah, I mean, I think that there were throws there that Josh Allen missed. Obviously, the fumble didn't go their way. He was down. But if that fumble goes their way, they're going up in that situation. They got the ball deep in Kansas City territory. So, yeah, what the Chiefs have been really tremendous at over the last 14, 15 games that doesn't get discussed enough is they understand how to capitalize on winning moments. And it's something that New England did very well, you know, for the last two decades. And in that game, you saw it in that game. You know, an old coach friend of mine told me a long time ago that, you know, football comes down to really like a handful of plays, winning a game. You know, everything else is the stats, the penalties, whatever, the big, you know, it's just, it's usually like five plays you can look at and say, this is where the game was won. And obviously in that game, that third and 12 that Mahomes converted late was big. That missed field goal at the end of the half was a huge play. I think Allen missing Stephon Diggs going down the sideline early was a huge play. But the Chiefs have found ways to win those moments consistently. And so the teams that they've been beating, if you look at it, there's been teams that have had those moments as well and just haven't capitalized. I said it last week. You know, there's, you look at all these games they played during that winning streak, there were plays that could have been made that could have beaten them. It didn't get made. Super Bowl, there was a play that Emmanuel Sanders going down the field. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't hit him. So I think that, you know, the Raiders were able to make those plays last week. The Chiefs found ways to not make those mistakes or not allow those plays to happen this week. And this is going to be, that's going to be their story for the rest of the season. Are they going to make those plays in those moments, or is the other team going to make those plays?
The Chiefs will. Let's play some Clyde Edwards-Helaire so we can try to get on Nate Buchanan's good side here. Clyde was asked if he's had many games where running lanes were so wide open for him.
But, you know, when you have days like this, things just seem, you know, like to part like the Red Sea, and that's what the O-line did. And ultimately, I just put my head down and run. And then when it's time to make a guy miss or time to run through a guy, I do my job. That fires up the O-line, and I'm doing my 111. So ultimately, it got us the win.
And I don't know if you guys saw Le'Veon Bell tweeting during the game and his excitement and how he can't wait to be a part of this offense. Here, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was asked about teaming up with Le'Veon Bell.
And then, you know, talking to Le'Veon, he's, you know, another guy coming in, another piece to the puzzle. So ultimately, from here, I just feel like we can only go up. You know, Le'Veon, you know, guys older than me, I'm still in my rookie year. So ultimately, anything that I can do to pick his brain and gain any knowledge from him, I'm there for it. So.
And look, again, I still believe it was an excellent signing for the Chiefs because, number one, he's a running back in the NFL, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He could get hurt at any point. And if he were to get hurt, I would not feel comfortable with the Chiefs running back situation behind him. Okay, because, you know, Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson, at least right now, the careers, role players. And so you need that quality depth that they don't have because Damien Williams was in the plans, and now, since he opted out, he's not. And then number two, Andy Reid is creative enough, and Eric Bieniemy, you know, knows running backs. They will be able to utilize their talents where you can see both of these guys on the field, where Le'Veon Bell is more of a receiver, lines up in the slot. They can get creative, and it's not bad. We've seen around the NFL teams, good teams, have more than one running back that they can rely upon. And so, Jeff, your thoughts on what CEH there had to say about his line, parting things like the Red Sea, and then ultimately teaming up with Le'Veon Bell?
Well, I mean, he's saying the obvious. I mean, they had a great day. A lot of those guys we had not seen play, didn't know much about, or even heard of, really. I mean, first time I heard Kilgore's name was when he was getting in the game, when you're starting the game. And so, yeah, when you're putting a patchwork offensive line out there and you're having that kind of day, it does speak volumes about, you know, the game plan you had in place. Now, I always say this when it comes to the NFL, it's only one game. And now you have defensive coordinators looking at what they did with this group, and they will be attacked differently. I mean, you can guarantee that the next game, that's going after that. I think you'll still see people dropping defenders in the coverage, but you'll probably see different strategies up front with defending when it comes to defending the run and attacking that unit. And if Mitch Schwartz is out for any prolonged period of time, you're probably going to see a lot more blitzing. I think you will see that happen. You will try to see them try to take advantage of Mike Remmers or see what he can do. So, yeah, hats off to what they did last night. When it comes to Le'Veon Bell, I agree with you. I don't think there's a downside to it. I think you have to have depth. I think people forget that last year the Chiefs had four running backs get banged up and two were lost season in the injuries. They brought in Spencer Ware. He was one of those guys who played a game and then whatever, blew out a knee or whatever it was. And Darrell Williams went out too. So it doesn't hurt. And I think that move was made more for depth than it was to say, hey, the rich are getting richer. I think that, you know, it's, they're not going to have a problem scoring points. That's never going to be an issue for this team. And I wonder, I'm kind of in that group of, I want to see what Le'Veon Bell has left or where he's at, because it's been 3 years since he played at a really high level. And sometimes you get enamored with what a guy was as opposed to where he's at. And I just think that whenever a team is that invested in a player and then decides we'll just cut him, you can say all you want to about what kind of attitude he has or how he gets along with the coach. That's got to be a talent thing, too. They have to feel like if you can't help us in the way we thought, then we'll get rid of you.
But he was also brought in by a different regime.
Yeah, but I'm saying he can still help you if he still has talent.
Sure, but I mean, if he doesn't fit in your system, which he doesn't fit in Adam Gase's system, you're saddled with that contract. You have to play the guy. You're not happy about that if you're Adam Gase.
Well,
can someone tell me who does fit in Adam Gase?
Get to that point. What's that?
That's a good question.
Could you tell me exactly who fits in Adam Gase's system?
Yeah.
I'd like to.
Yeah, he's an issue.
Frank Gore.
And I hear what you're saying, Jake. I'm just saying that I think that you can make a. I haven't seen the Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, show me. I get what you mean. I get what you mean, but I think there is more to it in this particular situation.
Yeah. Well. Well.
Let me play a couple of clips from Andy Reid before we break. We'll get Jeff's comments on these here. Well, Andy Reid was asked about Le'Veon Bell tweeting his excitement during the game.
Yeah, so listen, we don't turn away good players, and he's a good one. So it's exciting to have him around, and we'll see how he does. He's got to get in the playbook and learn everything, but he's a pretty smart kid and been doing it a long time. So I don't think I'll have a problem with that, but I think if you talk to Clyde will sleep well tonight, as I think the other backs will. That one more guy, I don't think any of them will complain there.
And here was Andy Reid on the running game's performance last night.
Well, listen, we felt like, and this is me talking now, so I didn't think I gave the guys enough of a chance last week with it, and especially the second half. And so we want to make sure that, we're best when we have some kind of a balance going, when you can kind of go back and forth. It puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the defense. And so we were able to do both. And we felt like we needed both in this game.
That was Andy Reid on the performance last night, Jeff Chedia. And Andy Reid, he's mentioned that a couple of times. And Steve Spagnuolo mentioned it as well. And on that one long play that went for a touchdown to Henry Ruggs, he blamed himself and said he put Charvarius Ward in a bad situation there and made the wrong call. And Andy Reid has said that he didn't do things, totally the way he wanted to, and didn't put his team in the best situation. And so it's we keep talking about what went wrong against the Raiders last week. Again, like last night, it was a group effort. It wasn't just one thing. And so they clearly made adjustments and wanted to focus on running the football last night. And I'm sure the conditions also added to that as well, Jeff.
Yeah, well, and I also think that, if you really pin down the coaching staff, maybe the personnel people, they'd probably tell you that they were really happy it worked out that way for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Because when Le'Veon Bell shows up in that deal, I think the first question a lot of people have is, what's wrong with Clyde Edwards-Helaire? You spent a first-round pick on him. He had a great first game, and he's clearly a guy, when Damon Williams opted out, you felt like, hey, this is going to be this amazing rookie of the year talent, and now you're going out and getting Le'Veon Bell. So I think that just to be able to have that success for him, that line that Andy used, he'll sleep well tonight, I take that as, I don't have to worry so much about what I can do in this offense. Like, they believe in me. They just gave me 26 carries. They rode the running game, and in a huge nationally televised game that I was the most important player in. I think that goes a long way towards helping a rookie feel better about where he's at, what he's doing, what his future looks like in his organization. And Eric Bieniemy being a former running back and the offensive coordinator, I think he knows that too. I think it was all about making sure that he left. When Le'Veon Bell came in, Clyde Edwards-Helaire felt good about where he was at in this organization.
Do you guys know where Clyde Edwards-Helaire ranks in the NFL rushing numbers right now?
I mean, he wasn't in the top 10 going into last night.
I bet he's probably number one right now.
No, I mean, Derrick Henry's.
Oh, that's right.
Is but he's number
probably
two.
Number two. Okay.
He's number two behind Derrick Henry.
And so, you just want to say that?
Yeah, I just want to say that.
You want to say that out loud?
I was surprised to see
so
that.
So, do you think?
I think it was
you think
five
he's better
or six.
Than Kareem Hunt now. This week?
Well, it's that offensive line. You got better offensive right? line than Kareem Hunt. I don't know. I don't know where he is in terms of how good he is as running back, but it did strike me because I feel like now obviously he made a big jump because of the game he had last night, but I have felt like he's been disappointing. You know, like up until this past week, I think he hasn't had the production that I was kind of hoping he would have. And obviously, you go out 160 yards, that changes things a little bit, but I didn't expect to see him as number two in the NFL in rushing yards. Did you guys?
I think he was like five or six going into the end of the week. So, I mean, there aren't many guys who are – there's a lot of guys who are hurt right now. Yeah,
and a lot of teams split carries
exactly.
a lot these
so
days.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys who are the big name. Christian McCaffrey's been hurt. Saquon Barkley's been hurt. Dalvin Cook's been hooked. Hurt. You know, Ezekiel Elliott's not playing well in Dallas. So, it's there's a lot of guys who would be up there, you know, with bigger right. numbers. But, yeah, I was – look, I mean, I think it goes back to what we said at the start of the segment, which is that – they were more committed to the run tonight than they've been in a while. And if you're going to, you know, I'll keep referencing the Raiders and the Patriots game. If you're going to be dropping back and trying to throw all these long developing pass plays and he just becomes somebody who's part of the passing game, then, yeah, he's not going to put up big numbers. But I don't know if that's not an indictment of him. I think that's more an indictment of how they were using him.
You know, I think, too, people expected him to be a bigger factor in the passing game as a receiver, and he's been productive, but not in the way that people expected. And also, let's be honest, many times you'll judge a running back by how many times he gets in the end zone. He's had a couple of touchdowns called back, but I mean, how many touchdowns does he have this year?
Not many.
And people look at it, yeah, I think one. And so, he has been really good in two games. He's been fantastic. He's been all right in the other games, but maybe it's just not. He's successful and been productive, but not in the way people anticipated. But so what? You know, I mean, we thought he was going to be one thing, and maybe he still will. Maybe you'll see those games where he has, you know, seven or eight catches and 90 yards, and he's just terrific as a receiver. They can use him in multiple ways. Maybe they just haven't had to yet. But, I mean, yeah, it's after last night's game, that's going to skyrocket him up the charts, and that was a hell of a game for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We weren't good enough. You know, I was not good enough. You know, I got to do a better job. It's plain and simple. I didn't play very good tonight. I know that. I understand that. I can't afford – this team can't afford to have me play poorly. You know, early on, just not being as accurate with the ball as I should have been, making the right reads, making the right throws. And we turned it on a little too late there, obviously. But yeah, you know, 16 and 17 points is not going to cut it in this league, you know, but it didn't matter who we played tonight. If that's who we play or if that's how we play, you know, we're going to struggle to win games. So it is what it is right now. We'll learn from this. I'm obviously super frustrated with myself and how I performed tonight, and I can't do that to this team. So, you know, I got to be better. I will be better.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we had a few more pass plays called. I mean, we always do. But, I mean, once we saw that how deep their linebackers and safeties and corners were playing, we knew that we had the run. We had the run game. And so we really just stayed with it. And if teams are going to play us like this, you're going to see us running the football, and we have the guys that can do it.
That was Bills quarterback Josh Allen and then, of course, Patrick Mahomes the second. And I would like to mention to you that because – the Chiefs won last night 26-17 because they scored 26 points. You can get 26% off whole specialty pizzas at Johnny's Tavern. 26% off whole specialty pizzas, dine-in only, including all KC, Lawrence, and Topeka locations. Good to close a business. Go on there and tell them you heard it on Sports Radio 810 WHB. 26% off whole specialty pizzas at Johnny's Tavern. You heard Josh Allen's comments about him not being accurate and not playing well enough for his team to win. 17 points isn't enough in this league. Your thoughts on his comments and the overall performance from Josh Allen last night, Jeff?
I think he was right. You know, he was certainly confused and uncomfortable early in that game. You know, he found his rhythm late when they had that drive where he went down the field and they cut it to a 6-point game or whatever it was. But, you know, part of it too is that I think John Brown was more banged up than people realize. He didn't catch a ball in that game. Dawson Knox, their tight end, was not a factor in that game. And I think Stephon Diggs was all they really had to rely upon. And so I think when he was out there trying to make plays, I think you saw some of the shortcomings when a guy who's that young doesn't have all the weapons he's used to having around him. And I think it affected the way he played. You know, and they kind of had a weird game plan. They got into a lot of design runs, and some at one point they were doing a lot of quarterback sweeps and quarterback draws, and it was just like, you have running backs, you can hand the ball off. But I think it was a tough day, but I think he's going to be fine. I think that team is going to be fine. I think they'll probably end up winning that division, and it'll be a learning experience for him. But I think he's had a couple tough games now where people are starting to say, all right, he had this great start to the season, you know, came out of the blocks really fast in the first four games. Now he's seeing some different looks. He's missing some key people in his offense. His defense is not playing well at all. And, you know, again, I go back to what I said in the previous segment, that if you're going to say the Chiefs are going to score 26 points in that game, as bad as they were defensively, you'd probably take that and hope that your offense can get you 30. And their offense couldn't get them 30 last night.
You talk about them winning the division, and I don't think many people would disagree, but do the Dolphins have a chance?
Yeah.
At that division? They're 3-3 now.
Yeah.
And by the way, it took a last-second field goal for this Bills team to beat that Dolphins team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Miami's quietly played well. And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick being your quarterback, there's always that moment earlier in the year where they say, hey, look out, Ryan. Look how Fitzy's playing. Fitzmagic.
He's good for a game where he's got like 3 touchdowns and 350 yards passing, and then you never know. He might have 3 interceptions the next week. But yeah. But still, they like
– Well, they spend a lot of money in the offense. They have talent.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not lacking for – you know, and I think they have – on defense, they've built or they've added some players that allow the coach – to do some of the things, Brian Flores, to do some of the things he was doing in New England. You got some versatile players. The quarterback, I joke that can be a turnover machine at times, but when he's on, he's on. He can be hot. And you saw what happened last year against New England end of the season, where he went in there and beat them and knocked them out of the, whatever it was, the number 2 seed. And so, yeah, they've got some ability. I just want to see it carry over, you know, for a month or so. I mean, they're going to see the Chiefs, so we'll find out firsthand. Yeah, I think it's within, what, next month, they're going to play the Chiefs?
Looking here.
And maybe this year is too early, or maybe they can compete for that division. But especially if Tua ends up being the right guy, they're going to be hell on wheels in the next couple of years, considering next year in the 2021 draft, they have their pick. Mm-hmm. And the Texans pick, and that looks like that one's going to be good. And then in the second round, they got their pick and the Texans pick, and that one looks like that's going to be good. Good night. I mean, Texans, sorry about that, but Dolphins.
Yeah.
And they don't have to spend one of those picks on a quarterback. They already have that, and that will be very interesting moving forward, but we'll see. I mean, they'd certainly win the NFC East if they were in that division, but unfortunately for them, they're not.
Yeah, but not to cut you off here, but I'd love to see what happened with the Chargers with Miami and see Tua come in and see if he can be what Justin Herbert's been.
Right. I mean, and Herbert's already been pretty damn good, and so, that was he finally got his first action this past Sunday, but we will see at some point if they decide to give Tua a shot here. We have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio. And, again, the Chiefs win last night 26-17. Jeff, up next for the Chiefs, the Denver Broncos. And they're coming off a surprising win against the Patriots 18-12 in a very ugly game. What's your early thoughts on Chiefs at Broncos this Sunday?
It's probably a good game for the Chiefs to get after what they've been going through the last 3 weeks. Certainly a tough stretch of opponents. And, you know, Denver, I don't know what to make of that game against the Patriots because I watched some of it, and it's Cam Newton looked awful.
You think they needed more practice, Jeff?
I think maybe a little bit more than two practices in 2 weeks. Maybe that might help you out. Yeah. Kind of hard to zoom it up and go out
with football. Not hard for the Titans.
Yeah. Well, they had 3 weeks to do nothing. So. But
you don't have to practice handing it to Derrick Henry too much, I guess.
Yeah, and some of the players who had COVID got what's that? Right about the schedule.
Yeah, things lighten up now. They play at the Broncos, and then they get to host the Jets.
Yeah,
and not that the Panthers are bad, but still hosting the Panthers compared to what they've gone through the last month, I'll take that. So you get those three games before you get a chance to get a bye week and then take on the Raiders on that Thursday night game up in Vegas. And so, no, look, the next and they've gone through a tough stretch on their schedule. The next three games should be wins for the Chiefs.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah, and actually, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a good time to – now, you don't want to just sit here and say they're going to win all these games. It's not going to be hard. I mean, I think they're going to have their challenges in there. You don't know what can happen. People can get hurt. But, yeah, I thought the second half of their schedule looked easier at the start of the year. It's a little bit tougher because of what he said, Nate just said about Miami. And I don't know. I think Atlanta and the Chargers could be kind of feisty in the second half. I think the Chargers might be playing for Anthony Lynn's job that last game of the season.
At the Bucs.
And going to the Raiders, too. Going to the Raiders after they won here.
Yeah, see, like up next, after they get done with this three-game stretch, at Broncos, home against the Jets, home against the Panthers, then they have back-to-back tough games at the Raiders and at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Then home against the Broncos, at the Dolphins, at the Saints, home against the Falcons, home against the Chargers.
I've seen some people saying the Bucs are the best team in the NFC now because of their defense. Do you buy that?
They look good on Sunday. And that team they beat was probably the best team in the NFL.
I still take Seattle.
No. I think all three of those teams are legit. And the Bucs defense is better than I thought it was going to be. You knew they had a good front seven, but they're, you know, Antoine Winfield's really played well for them at safety. And they've got some really big corners. They're very physical. And Todd Bowles is dialed up some stuff. They lost their big nose tackle, Vita Vea. And they just made a trade to get the guy from the Giants, I think it was, to come in and play defensive tackle. But you can't run the ball against them. And they got, you know, Ndamukong Suh in there and Devin White, Levante David. Those guys are nasty. And, you know, they once they get their offense playing consistently, because they've had guys come in and out, you know, Godwin and Evans have been hurt at receiver, and they're getting Gronk going now. Yeah, I could see them being the best team in the NFC by the end of it.
Steven, you got Seahawks Cardinals this weekend, by the way. That's
I do.
Yeah, well, you're talking about Seahawks, and that's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. The Seahawks aren't as good defensively. That's the only thing I would say that I don't like about them is that their defense isn't as good. It's really Russell Wilson. I mean, he's going to be the MVP this year just because of the way there's nobody who's – maybe Aaron Rodgers can turn it on, but what he's doing with what he has around him, what he's turned DK Metcalf into, like DK Metcalf is all of a sudden like – the next Julio Jones. But
I'd like you to not mention any of that anymore because the Chiefs and look, it's hard to complain
because
the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, but I mean it's anyone in the right mind now what? If you think that they
should take him
okay. Were you upset with Mecole Hardman?
Well, it's not even that.
I mean, it's like DK Metcalf shouldn't have been in the second round. He was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. All the teams were passing on him when it was happening. And I remember when the Chiefs were on the board and the rumor was they're looking at wide receiver. I'm sitting there with Phil watching, like, it's going to be DK. They're going to get DK Metcalf here. They're going to get DK effing Metcalf here. and they didn't. And they weren't the only team. But DK Metcalf's making a lot of teams look stupid now. I can tell you that.
Well, you know, I'll agree with you on this point because I think Mecole Hardman is in a bad spot because I think he's basically just a lesser version of Tyreek Hill in this offense right now. He's just a guy who can run deep routes and be a third or fourth option, whereas DK Metcalf can work the whole field for you and be a red zone threat.
He's a freak.
Yeah, he's tall. And he had an injury history in college. He only caught like 60 passes in college. So I think there were a lot of people who thought yeah, he's physical freak, but is his body going to break down? Is what is he going to be long term? Is this too good to be true? But yeah, Russell Wilson is, he's turning him into like a stud star. I mean, that last game they had where they went down the field against Minnesota, it was like he threw the ball to him like 8 times.
Right. And they won the game. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com has been our guest. Jeff, before we get a prediction from you for Chiefs Broncos with the score, please, I only have one more question for you. How about them Lions? Huh? How about them Lions?
Oh, boy.
You're going to ride that Swift. Train, huh? DeAndre Swift. I'll ride that train. 14 carries, 116 yards, and a couple of touchdowns from the rookie. How about that?
I bet they had like a map showing all the people watching Lions games in the country. Lions front office be like, who is this one person in Kansas City who is constantly tuning into Lions games? Like outside of the greater metropolitan Detroit area in the state of Michigan, like there's one person out here caring about the Lions.
Hey, they're taking on the 1-5 Falcons this weekend, man. They'd be looking at a winning streak.
Yeah. How about the NFC East? The NFC East combined has five wins, and there's like five teams in the whole NFL who have at least 5 wins.
One of those teams is going to get to host a playoff game.
Dallas got beat 31-3, and they're winning the NFC East.
Right. That loss propelled them into first place. Very excited. But, by the way, Mike, on that note, Thursday Night Football, Giants at Eagles, be there.
Yeah. Mike McCarthy said that was their best week of practice, though.
Well they got it first place.
That makes
place.
Feel better. Yeah, first place team.
All right. We can take it Jeff, here's an actual great game to ask you about. Who will win between the 5-0 Steelers and 5-0 Titans?
Mm.
Ooh.
Ooh, man, big loss for the Steelers. Devin Bush.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pro Bowl linebacker. I love the way the Steelers are playing, though, both sides of the ball. And I feel like they're the best team in the AFC right now. I mean, I think that the way they just carved up Cleveland and destroyed Baker Mayfield, it's even with Bush going down, it's a big hole in their offense. And with Derrick Henry coming in, it's going to be tough. But, man, it's right now that they are clicking on all cylinders, and they've got, you know, three – that Chase Claypool, that rookie receiver they got. You're talking about another DK Metcalf type guy, 6'4", 240. Just – scoring touchdowns like crazy. I think the Steelers win that game.
Seahawks and Cardinals.
But the Steelers got the Ravens coming up right after that back-to-back week, so they're going that's going to be a rough one for them.
Ravens, though, are they're winning, but they're struggling. They've got some issues.
Their defense is not looking I don't know. It's looking inconsistent.
Just back-to-back tough games on the road. Just thought I'd mention that.
Mm-hmm. How about Seahawks Cardinals?
Where is it at?
Arizona.
I'll take Seahawks.
Yeah, you will. I can't wait for this Sunday night football game. Tampa Bay at Las Vegas.
Ooh, that's a good one.
This would be the true serum for the for the Raiders, huh?
That's a great Sunday night football matchup.
Let's go.
You know what? I like the way the Raiders played here. I think it says a lot about where they're at. I think that they keep it going. I think they beat the Bucs.
All right, Monday night, Bears at Rams.
Man, the Bears, the quietest 5-1 team in football, right?
Nick Foles.
Yep. Bears at Rams. Man, that's
Rams 4-2. That's a tough one.
I feel like the Rams need it, and I think the Bears, God, they've just been it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors there. They got the great defense. I'll take the Rams in that one.
Some good games this weekend. Okay, what's the final score going to be? Chiefs at Broncos.
I'll take Chiefs 31-17.
And as always, I know you participate, and Jeff, I know you always keep a close eye on all the local schools. Who do you got in the Sunflower Showdown, Kansas or Kansas State?
Oh, man, Puka Williams opted out yesterday.
I saw that.
Best wishes to his family. He's got some family issues at home.
Somehow I will go with the team. Yep. Kansas hasn't won yet, right?
No.
Yeah. Have they? Nate,
let me check the schedule. No,
all right, Sunflower Showdown. All right, Sunflower Showdown.
He said he's going to check the schedule. You made me laugh out loud. You smart mouth. You just said you're going to check the schedule. Jake, is he? Is he actually doing it? Tell me.
Yeah, he's looking at his schedule. Into his laptop.
Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina's a tough team.
Looking at the schedule,
they won.
That was a good. That was the line of the show. Right. Line of the show, there, right there. That's a good
if
one.
You don't laugh, you'll cry.
That was a good one, though. Timing and everything, man. Just top notch.
Sunflower
right
Showdown.
Come on, Jeff. Let me look at the schedule. Let me.
Jayhawks 19.5 point underdog.
Well, that's you all? Know,
I think that's I was pretty. Say that's all? Pretty low.
Covered last week.
They did cover last week.
Yeah, that was a backdoor Puka
cover too. Puka Williams had a return. He had a kick return for them to
go
cover.
Ahead and take a catch in the 19.
Drop the mic moment.
Give up 19. 19.5
I just got Jake's money. I'm out of here.
19.5
19.5 That's what it says on
ESPN.
Let
me think about. Let me hold on. Yep, I'll take the Cats and lay the point.
Jeff, thank you very much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Do you give a number?
Score. Yeah. What is that score?
Broncos, I gave you 31-17.
31-17.
There, 31-17.
I need to hear it again. I got to go talk to a guy.
Okay. Stand down. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Thank you.
That is Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Everyone have a wonderful Victory Tuesday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.